What is the church really supposed to be? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
The church is designed to be a hospital for hurting people. What happens with the hospital? You take somebody in that's having problems. The ER, you take them in. Man, he's having a heart attack. He's having this. He's having that. He cut himself really badly. Something terrible has happened. You take him to the hospital, and in the hospital, what do? They work on him to get him better. We're designed to take in hurting people, broken people, people who have been through it, and say, we want to help you, and we want to help you take your sin to the light, to the Lord, and receive forgiveness and let Him restore you. That's what the church is designed to do.
He can heal every scar.
Our world today is steeped in darkness, and it's more and more difficult to distinguish between good and evil. We see evidence of this growing tsunami in our culture and around the world today. It's really mind-boggling, but not when you understand that it has all been prophesied in the Bible. But our world desperately needs to see the light, and churches everywhere ought to be shining forth the light of God's love and God's truth. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Today, Pastor Jeff shines a bright light on the doctrinal truth about sin and salvation. And it comes from his 7-message series, Encountering the Real Jesus. Now, this series, along with the booklet, Real Revival, are our gifts of thanks to you for your support to From His Heart this month. Just go to fromhisheart.org. You can make your gift and request those resources there. Let's do some catching up from part one of this lesson that we heard last time, and then continue to learn about why we should and how we can shine the light on sin and salvation. Open your Bible to John chapter 3. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
What is the truth concerning sin and salvation? Let me share with you three. Truth number one, every person without Christ is facing eternal hell. Now, John 3 is a discourse and a dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who was the teacher of Israel, and Jesus talks to him about the need to be born again. And verse 16 is the most famous verse of all in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it speaks of God's great love in that verse. It's called the gospel in a nutshell. It speaks of God's great love. It also speaks of man's great problem. What's man's great problem? He's perishing. Every person without Christ is facing eternal hell. You say, well, why is that? Because every person is a guilty sinner before a holy God. That's what the Bible teaches. The scripture says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. Death, spiritual death, separation from God forever. That's not a good picture. And so, you know, a lot of us, we sense, hey, there's something, I feel a little distance from God, and maybe I need to get back to church a little bit. Maybe I need to open my Bible some. Maybe I need to pray a little bit. We think we can do a few good works. Hey, being good and being religious, that doesn't cut it. That doesn't solve the problem that you're a sinner before God. We're in trouble, big time trouble. Now, very, very important that the scripture says in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night. Now, this man was a good man by our standards. He was a religious man. He was arguably the best that man could produce. And Jesus said to him, hey, you know what, pal? You must be born again. You must be born from above. You're in the darkness and you need to come into the light. So we're all sinners and we're all in trouble, and every person without Christ is facing eternal hell. Second foundational truth. God loves everyone and doesn't want anyone to go to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's so much love in God's heart that he would willingly give his own son for sinners. That's the heartbeat of God. And that's what he wants to do. But truth number three, salvation only comes when you come to the light. Look at verses 18 and following. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought or accomplished in God. What must you do in order to not perish? See, we're on the broad road. We're going in the wrong direction. And there's something you must do. Now, it's not a work, because you're not saved by works. But there is something that every person must do if you're going to get off the broad road and get on the narrow road with the Lord. And what is that something? You must bring your sin into the light. You have to do that. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. I want you to think of that word, rather. New American Standard, rather. That word means more, to a greater degree, much by far. Men loved the darkness more than the light, to a greater degree than the light. Much by far, they loved the darkness rather than the light. And that's the judgment. Why do people go to hell? Because they choose their sin over God's Son. That's why. You say, oh, no, it's intellectual. They have intellectual problems. No, they don't. They have dirty, rotten sin. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He doesn't say in his mind, there is no God. He says it in his heart, there is no God. And when it says the fool, that's the word Nabal, N-A-B-A-L, which means the morally perverse person. The morally perverse person says in his heart, there is no God. Why does he say that? Because he doesn't want there to be a God. Why? Because if there's a God, then there is coming a day when I have to stand before God and give an account of my life, and I don't want that because I like the darkness. You know, it says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It talks about those during the time of the tribulation, and the Antichrist is in force and in power. And it says, with all the deception of wickedness, for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. They chose their sin over God's Son. They wouldn't believe the truth. Why? Because they love their sin. Men love the darkness more than the light, for their deeds were evil. So many refuse to bring their sin into the light. Why? Because they love their sin. Because they love their sin. And when they are confronted with a choice, they say, well, I'd rather have my sin. True story. Story shared by Joe Henry Hankins, the evangelist. He was preaching and giving the invitation, preach the cross, preach the blood, preach the empty tomb, gave the invitation, and the choir was singing, and he was calling people to the light to come to Jesus, and he could see up in the balcony a young boy, junior high school age, something like that, and he said he could tell that that kid was in a spiritual battle. And boy, he was just, he would make like he was going to come down front to respond to the invitation, and then he'd stop, and then he'd make for it, and then he'd stop. And he said, finally, he saw that kid and he closed his hymnal and he went down the steps. And Joe Henry Hankins said, praise the Lord, he's going to come. He's going to come to Jesus. But the kid didn't come. He left the church and he walked out. And the pastor was brokenhearted. Well, some weeks later, the pastor was had an opportunity to talk to this kid. He was diagnosed with a terminal disease. And he was talking to the kid and he said, I remember you, young man. He said, weren't you in church several weeks ago? He said, yeah, I was there. And he said, and it didn't, I could just sense that you were in a battle, a spiritual battle. He said, yeah, I was. And he said, I urged you to come to Jesus. And it seemed like you wanted to come, but you didn't come. He said, I wanted to come so bad, I almost jumped over the balcony rail to get down there where you were. And he said, but you didn't come. He said, yeah. Because at the same time I thought about coming to Jesus, I thought about my favorite sin. And he said, and I knew that if I came to Jesus, I couldn't continue in this sin. And I was struggling between the two, and I finally made the decision, all right, I'll just have my sin. And he said, I left the church. And Hankins said to him, well, do you know about your condition? Do you know you're gonna die? He said, yeah, I know. And he said, well, now you can't have your sin. Come to Jesus. And that boy said to him, Pastor, there's something you don't understand. He said, when I made that decision that night, something died within me, and now I can't come to Jesus. He chose his sin over God's son. And just as the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that God will send upon them a deluding influence so they might believe what is false in order that they all may be judged. Why would God want that? Because they didn't believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So many people, that's they say, no, I don't want the truth. I want my sin. And so you know what they do? You know what they do because they want their sin? This is what's going on in America. Many will believe a lie so that they continue in their sin. They want to continue in their sin, but they want to still have a sense of spirituality. So they say, well, you know, I want to come to the light, but not that light. Because the Bible said this is the message. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John said, this is the message which we heard from him and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so people say, well, you know, I like my sin in that I like this darkness. I like this sin. I like this sexual immorality. I like what I'm doing. And I got to come to the light, and I don't want to do that because I love this. I love this darkness. So let's just dim the light. Let's change the light to where it's more palatable for my sinful lifestyle. And that's what we're doing today. The largest church in America today never even talks about sin. They asked him, Pastor, why don't you talk about sin? Well, you know, I just think that the people don't need to hear that. They don't want to know that. They come to church, that just makes them feel bad. And we want to make them feel good, so we never talk about sin. Sin is killing them, but we never talk about it. And so what do? We just cheer them on. We just pat them on the back. Listen, if somebody is racing on a road that leads off a cliff to their death, I'm not going to stand there and pat them on the back and cheer them on and say, well, that's great. No, if you love that person, you'll stand in their way and say, hey, you need to turn around because that goes off a cliff and that's forever and you will perish. And God doesn't want that. And I don't want that. You know, we're so upside down. We're so in the dark. Woe, it says in the book of Isaiah, woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. And what do we do in today's world? We're so in the dark that people who stand up and try and stop people from racing off the cliff, they're the haters. They're the bigots. They're the homophobes. They're the Neanderthals. They're the scum of the earth. And the people that are cheering those folks on as they go off the cliff, they're the good people. We call evil good and good evil. We are so twisted in our understanding of right and wrong. People believe a lie so that they can continue in sin. David Hira, friend of mine, been in our church many times. He sent me this little meme. It says, there was a time when people went to church, heard the truth, and wept over their sins. Today, people go to church, hear a motivational speech, and ignore their sins. That's what's happening in the church. And church becomes just a motivational pep talk, and people don't, they're not exposed to the light. And so they just feel comfortable staying in the darkness, and they believe the lie that they're okay in the darkness. You're not okay in the darkness. If you're gonna get right with God, you have to come to the light. And when you come to the light, your deeds are exposed. Somebody asked me, they said, Pastor Jeff, do you think it's possible for a Christian to struggle with same-sex attraction? Of course. It's possible for a Christian to struggle with all sorts of things. I struggle with things. You struggle with things. We struggle with different things, but we struggle with things. It's possible because you're not immune to any of that stuff. But, Pastor Jeff, do you think it's possible For someone who is in an adulterous relationship, someone who is sleeping around, someone who's in a homosexual relationship, to bring that relationship to this pseudo light and say, well, this is just the way it's going to be, Lord, because this is how I am, and I'll get saved, but I'm going to get saved this way. No, can't do that. Impossible. Why? Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And you can't come with your sin in tow saying, I'm going to keep this sin because this is the way God made me. It doesn't work like that. When you come to the light, your deeds are exposed. And that's what it says in verse 20. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. What does it mean to have your deeds exposed? That word means to convict, to find fault with, to reprimand severely. You see why people don't want to come to the light? Because if I come to the light, my deeds are going to be exposed. And I don't want that. I want God to just say that I'm fine in the darkness. And he will never, ever, ever do that. John MacArthur got a phone call one day. It was a man in the hospital. He was dying. He just had days to live. And he was asking for Dr. MacArthur to come to his bedside, and MacArthur came. He said, when I went into the room, he said, I saw an emaciated man. He was obviously dying of AIDS. He said, another man was there, looked to be his partner. And he said, when I walked in, the guy recognized who I was, and he quickly left. And he said, I'm alone with this man who's dying. Just looked like death. And he began to talk to this man. And he began to talk to him about his soul. And the man was very grateful that Dr. MacArthur had come. And I remember John said to him, he said, what do you think? Tell me about yourself. And the man began to tell him about his background and everything. And he told him he'd been living in the gay lifestyle for 26 years. And he said to him, what do you think about the homosexual lifestyle? And he said, the man said with tears, it's sin, it's sin, it's sin. And that man prayed that day with John MacArthur, and he was set free from his sin. What did he do? He brought it into the light, and he called it what it is, sin. And I don't care what your sin is. If it's homosexuality, if it's adultery, if it's fornication, if it's theft, it's murder, whatever it is, you have to bring it into the light and get honest about it. And let your deeds be exposed so that you can be set free. And if you won't do that, if you don't do that, you're in the darkness and you'll stay in the darkness. And I don't care what you think and who might say that it's okay and God accepts you where he is. From the lips of Jesus, he does not. He does not. Why is this a big deal? Because we're teaching kids today that it's fine to be like this and to be a believer. You're not saved over here. You're saved over here. When you bring your sin into the light and say, God, I'm a guilty sinner. Have mercy on me. And the Lord does have mercy and he'll save you. So much is said today about the gender issue. I wrote a little blog, put it on Facebook, put it on From His Heart Facebook page, put it on my personal Facebook page. People are so confused. Said, it's not designed to be confusing. And somebody told me, he said, Jeff, you're confusing sex with gender. No, your sex is your gender. There are Facebook has 71 different genders. What in the world is that? You know who chooses your gender? God. God chooses your gender. And if you'll just accept the way God made you, your life will go so much better. Somebody got on me and said, you're way too simplistic. I said, it's not complicated. God is not the God of confusion. He's the God of peace. He didn't complicate it. He made them male and female. Now, if you ever wonder what the bathroom policy is at First Baptist Texarkana, we go by your birth certificate. That's how you determine what bathroom you go to. And you know, in our world today, we have people that are cheering on those and they say, well, you don't understand the agony and everything going on in their lives. Listen, I care about a person who's very, very confused. But not to the point to say, well, we're going to start calling this darkness that they live in, we're just going to call it light. We're just going to say that's good. It's not good and it's not fine. And that leads off a road that goes off a cliff that goes into eternal destruction. You know, once you start saying that you choose, it's Katie bar the door. Many believe a lie so that they continue in their sin. Let me tell you something about the church. The church is designed to be a hospital. A hospital for hurting people. What happens with the hospital? You take somebody in that's having problems. The ER, you take them in. Man, he's having a heart attack. He's having this. He's having that. He cut himself really badly. Something terrible has happened. You take him to the hospital. And then the hospital, what do? They work on him to get him better. And how many have had the experience of going to the hospital and they hurt you at the hospital? Anybody had that experience? Yeah. Go to the doctor. They hurt you. Go to the dentist. Good night. They really hurt you. They're nice about it, but it just hurts when you start messing with people's teeth. And so we do that at the hospital. A church is a hospital. We're designed to take in hurting people, broken people, people who have been through it and say, we want to help you. And we want to help you take your sin to the light, to the Lord, and receive forgiveness and let him restore you. That's what the church is designed to do. But you know what hospice is? Hospice is totally different than a hospital. Hospice is where you go when the hospital says, we can't help you anymore. And hospice does a great work to keep people comfortable and to help them as they die. It doesn't try and change things. We're just going to keep you comfortable because you're going to die. You know what the problem is in America today? Churches have become hospices. And we're just going to make you feel good until you die. We're not supposed to be hospice. We're supposed to be a hospital to help people say, this is the one who can save you. And if you tell people a lie, they stay in their sin and they die in their sin. And if you tell them their darkness is not darkness and their sin is okay with God, you lie to them and they don't repent. And Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And the one who comes to the light and the one who comes to the Lord in repentance and faith, he will by no means cast out.
Jesus Christ gave his very life so that sinners like you and me could be reconciled to him. But how does that happen? We come to him, we confess our sins, and we make him the Lord of our lives, of all of our life, not just the part that's easy, but all of it. And when we do that, sincerely, in love with him, these hard parts will become light and will never be the same. That can happen to you. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart to turn from your sin and receive salvation, we want to invite you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus tab. You'll learn who Jesus really is, what it means to be born again, how to know God, how to know his plan for you, how to grow in Christ, how to trust the Bible. And because you're now close to him, you'll have a wonderful life in spite of any struggles that your life may bring. Plus, we have some free materials just for you to download and receive from Pastor Jeff. Go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus tab. Today's message was called Shining the Light on Sin and Salvation. It's from the series Encountering the Real Jesus, where he shares biblical insight to shine the light on the true identity and character and mission and the message of the one called Jesus, and how knowing the real Jesus will change you completely. As we've said, so many people pretend to know him, but they don't really do that. This series can help change that. It's also our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month, along with Pastor Jeff's booklet, Real Revival. To get yours, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. We also hope that you'll be here on Monday for the final lesson in Pastor Jeff's Encountering the Real Jesus series. Join us then, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to fromhisheart.org.